put that on Pandora to wake you up every morning. How about that? Fantastic. You be seated. Amen. Well, I've already been in the first service, and I can tell you, you're going to be experiencing the tremendous presence of the Lord in song. Amen. It's a great opportunity. Welcome this morning to Trinity. I'm Pastor Tony, one of the pastors here on staff, and we are glad to have you with us this morning. If you're a guest for the first, second, or third time, in the pew in front of you is a communication card. If you would take a couple of minutes here this morning, just fill that out for us if you would, and later in the service we will receive his tithes and our offering when the plate comes by. That's all we ask that you put in, please. If you'll just take that communication card and do that, that'd be tremendous. We have a couple of important announcements, if we could, this morning. One very important announcement is next Sunday is the Power of One. Okay, we're going to have a tremendous service. It's a tremendous opportunity to give. We're going to be mission-focused. And so next Sunday, one service at 10:45, okay? So Sunday school, all Sunday school classes will begin at 9 a.m., and then we'll have one service at 10:45. So put that on your calendar. If you're here early, we'll put you to work. That's okay. But just 10:45 if you can do that for us, okay? And this Wednesday, we're going to have a special Ash Wednesday service. If you would be with us at 7 p.m., it's the beginning of our season of Lent. So if you would come Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, join us. It's a great time, great service, and a great experience into launching us into our time of Lent, okay? So if you'll be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and to join us for that. We are having a special table out here directly to your left when you leave here this morning. There's a special spaghetti dinner that'll be taking place, and we would ask that you would sign up for that. There's a brochure back here for that. That'll be on March 15th. So if you'll go out here to the foyer directly to your left, Cindy and Tim Sims will be out there to help you get signed up again. So again, enjoy the service this morning. Relax, clap, stand, do whatever you feel like you need to do. Amen.
Well, my name is Pastor Steve, and I think my microphone is off. There we go. I'm back on now. My name is Pastor Steve, and I'm the lead pastor here at Trinity. And I have a special announcement that's kind of in conjunction with the other announcements that we've already shared this morning. Just kind of add on to the Hope for Tomorrow sign up. It's spaghetti dinner that benefits Hope for Tomorrow, which is an incredible opportunity for us to partner with a great ministry out of the city of Aurora. But also, we're asking for, last year we provided salads and desserts and a couple other food items for that spaghetti dinner, because that's one of their largest opportunities to raise funds for Hope for Tomorrow. So we feel like one of our best things that we can do is bring a salad, bring a dessert, and bring some food items. So also, if you can't attend the spaghetti dinner, would you stop by that table and see maybe what you could donate to help the dinner happen? That way it keeps the cost down for them, and they're able to utilize more of the funding that comes in to go directly to Hope for Tomorrow. So just want to say that. Also, too, many of you probably this morning came prepared to vote for our church board. We had church board elections scheduled for this Sunday. And, you know, one of the things that we pray for is a spirit of unity, especially in our leadership. And so one of the things that happened on Thursday night at our board meeting was we didn't feel that we had kind of communicated soon enough that the church board elections were coming up. So what we actually decided to do is we're going to move those back to March 9th. So March 9th, and then what you're going to receive from us this week is you're going to get kind of a little bio information on those who are nominated for the church board, and it'll give you time to prepare and to pray. And then on March 9th, 20 minutes before and after both morning services, we'll have an opportunity to vote on the church leadership. It's one of the most important things that we can do in the life of the church, and so we want to make sure that we're prayerfully considering what that looks like. The other aspect of that too is in order for you to qualify to vote for the church board, you need to be 15 years of age and older and a member of the church. So this morning we have the opportunity at the end of the service to receive new members into membership today. And so you'll hear a little bit about what does that mean? What does it look like for you to become a member of the church? And that maybe that's something that you're considering as well for Trinity Church of the Nazarene. So again, thanks so much for being here. And, you know, again, just to make a big plug for March 2nd, which is next Sunday, Power of One Sunday. This is a great Sunday in the life of the church today, as well as what we're going to hear next week. So are you excited to hear from this group behind me? I know. they're just sitting out here and they're going, would he just sit down? We want to hear from them. So Jasper, would you come and share with us and minister with us, or to us, I should say, through song this morning? Kids, give a hand again for Proclamation Gospel Choir.
We certainly are so glad to be here, to be able to share with you and to worship our God and our King together. Now, the first song we sang today mentioned that every praise is due our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. And as we worship Him and celebrate Him today, I want to invite you to stand with us today as we celebrate a God who is greater, a God who is stronger, a God who is higher than any other. This is our God, God who has conquered death and sin and has claimed the victory. And because of that work, we sit with Him in heavenly places. What a privilege to know that we serve a God who is greater, stronger, higher than any other. God, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for how you work in our lives. As we gather in this place today, we sing your praise. We honor you with our lips. Have your way in this place, Father. Let's sing together, Water You Turned. Water You Turned into Wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you.
None like you.
Into the darkness you shine.
Into the darkness you shine.
I thank the Lord, out of the ashes.
Out of the ashes you rise.
There's no one like you.
No one like you.
None like you.
Oh, God is stronger, higher than any.
Number one, our God. A God who has revealed himself to us, shown his love to us through his son, through your son. And God, we say thank you for that. We thank you for the outpouring of that love. A love that grants us the victory. As we think about your love, I realize, Lord, we're just inseparable. There's nothing that can come in between us. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you for this amazing love that you've shown toward us. I can't help but think that in response to your love, that we simply offer ourselves back unto you. For the love you've shown, the least we can do is give our life back unto you. Considering the fact that you've paid it all, and to all to you, we owe. Lord, my prayer today as we worship you, God, is that we would sing songs that are not just songs, but really the cry of our hearts. That we would sing songs that come from the deepest parts of our souls, that express our love and our adoration towards you for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you're going to continue to do in our lives. If I can sum it up today, Lord, I just want to say I give myself away. I give myself away so that you can use me. Take my hands, take my feet, take everything that's inside of me today, Lord, and have your way. We thank you, God, for being a God who can use us in spite of us, who can clean us up, set us apart, sanctify us, and use us for your holy purposes. Have your way in this place today as we sing. I give myself away. I
give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away.
Can the church help me today?
Myself away so you can.
God yourself today. My life is not my
own. Life is not my own.
You are bought with a price.
To you I belong.
You've been redeemed.
I give myself to you.
One more time, can the church say,
this morning, as the choir was singing that song, God had placed scripture on my heart to share with you. And it's amazing when we think about the fact we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, the challenge is I give myself away. But we have to ask, why? Why do I give myself away? And when you look at that, you have to realize that the reason we can say with confidence or with boldness or to proclaim I give myself away is because He gave Himself away first. He's the one that sacrificed everything for us. In Philippians 2, starting in verse 5, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I mean, that's a challenge even in itself. Just one scripture verse. Your attitude should be that of the same as Christ Jesus. And then the next question usually is, well, what does that mean? What does that look like? What does it mean to have the attitude of Christ Jesus? Well, let's continue to read. Who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Recognizing that Jesus Himself was God Himself, but still wasn't able to comprehend the full nature of who God is. I think you can give yourself a break. Sometimes we try to understand God. We try to put Him into our box. Or we try to take Him out on Sundays and bring Him with us to church, but then we put Him back on the shelf Monday through Saturday. And we say, well, that's just because I don't understand or I can't comprehend. The truth is, Jesus Himself struggled to comprehend. Who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death. Just that fact alone, to say He became obedient to death is in itself is powerful. But then when you look at the next line's in there to teach us, to show us that the death that He experienced wasn't just an ordinary death. The death that He went through wasn't something that anybody would ever desire to go through. And it says, obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's the amazing thing, the proclamation, no pun intended, I guess. The proclamation for us this morning is to recognize that whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you worship God or not, whether you come today professing a faith or you come today exploring what that faith looks like, at the end of it all, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. I don't know about you, but I wait longingly for that day. And this morning, you know, when we talk about that, it says to the glory of God the Father. For us in the life of the church, we have, you've heard us allude to it now a couple of different times, but next week we have an incredibly powerful opportunity in the life of the church called Power of One. It's our opportunity to hear the mission and to hear what God has placed on our hearts as a church to reach out into the far reaches of the world, but also to reach out across the street. How we as a church are combining together, all of us, to have the power of one to make a difference. You're going to hear the reports of what we were able to accomplish last year. You're going to hear the exciting news of what's going to be coming up. And we actually are blessed to kind of kick that off a little bit early. And so I want to invite Aaron and Fallon Theophilus to join me up here. And they're going to come, and Aaron and Fallon are going to share with us the mission that God has placed on their hearts. And I don't want to get too far ahead and steal your thunder or anything. So I'm going to let you guys talk. But Aaron and Fallon are here as Nazarene missionaries to share exactly what does that look like for you guys coming up in the next couple of years. And this isn't just something that you're going to do for a year. I mean, this for you is going to take place over at least 3 years, 4 years. So share with us first just kind of a little bit about who you guys are and the story of how you got here that led you to this place. I think it's a great place to begin.
Good morning. We are so excited to be here this morning. We've been looking forward to this day, and we were looking forward to leave Indiana, come to Illinois. And we're excited to be here this morning. I'm Aaron Theophilus, and I'm from India, and this is my wife, Fallon, and she's from U.S., and we have two little boys. One is Isaac, and the other one is Malachi. Isaac is 3 years old. Malachi is 16 months old, and these two are the cutest thing ever, and we love them, and we're glad that they're part of our lives, and myself, I was born into a Christian family. My father is a retired Army chaplain, so I am the typical Army brat, preacher's kid combo.
Which that's a deadly combination.
That is.
You put both of those together.
So, growing up, I definitely have seen my parents teach us obedience and faithfulness to God and having trust and faith in what He's going to do in our lives. Because as we were growing up, we never had in abundance. We always just had enough. So to see God providing for us in every way, we saw it, you know, through their lives. And they relayed that to us as kids, that we need to trust and obey in God and see His miracle in our lives. And that's the reason why I'm sitting here today, is some of those stories that I have seen in my family and allowed us to be here today. One of the other things is I am a product of missions. I just wanted the church to know this. I was sponsored by the Nazarene Church to do my education in India. I did my bachelor's in theology and also my master's in divinity, and it was only because of the Church of the Nazarene who was able to sponsor me and send me to school. Like I said, we never had enough, so there was no way my father was going to afford me to go to college. But the Nazarene Church came in 1998, I still remember, and they offered me to go to the school. I mean, of course, I was willing, and it is because of people like you who support missions, either through Power of One or giving to world evangelism, and that people like us across the globe get to have opportunities for education or for water or house and other things.
Yeah, and I think that point alone is worth just stopping and almost kind of hearing that again. I mean, you're sitting here today as a product of missions. A product of going to missionaries like you coming to local churches and saying, hey, will you partner with us? Because somebody else sat in your chair that was going to over to reach you.
Yes, exactly.
And I mean, I don't know about you, but that's what excites me about missions. It's the opportunity to realize that we have the ability here in our nice, comfortable, church,
yes,
to help reach out across the world, and we are impacting people that we might not ever meet until the day when they're sitting here saying, we're going, right?
Yes.
And so now tell me a little bit about your lovely wife, Fallon.
My lovely wife, Fallon. When I first met Fallon, like I said in the first service, it was not love at first sight.
And I stopped him there. I said, maybe we want to stop here for a second.
He likes this joke.
Yes, it's a good one. Well, he got me, that's for sure.
But it was love at every sight.
Yeah.
And till today, I still believe that it's love at every sight. And because of that, I proposed to her in 3 weeks. And that was quick. And I proposed to her over the phone. And she was very nice about it. And that's how, and we decided that we're going to marry, we're going to come to the U.S., and that's what, it was a crazy idea at that point, but we were willing to be fully obedient to God,
sure,
in our lives.
Yeah, and Fallon, you guys met in India.
Yes.
But help us understand, why were you there?
Okay, so my background, Midwest girl, but my family felt that missions was very important. They wanted to make it an integral part of our lives, and they wanted to raise their children to the understanding of God and who God was internationally. And so I grew up going to Haiti every year. My parents would pack us up and we would go. And I actually have a Haitian brother. And so I think it just helped me to know and to know that my calling was missions from a very young age. And I actually was serving with Mission Corps, which is part of the Nazarene Church missions. In India, there is a Nazarene Mission Hospital that I was serving at, and I met him, and I fell in love, and I dragged him home.
That's wonderful. And even just to go another step further, that missions hospital that's a part of the Church of Nazarene was built with alabaster funding.
Yes.
Yes.
So here again, here's another amazing piece. The Church of Nazarene is celebrating 100 years of mission work. 100 years. Our denomination was founded in 1908. So it didn't take us very long to recognize that God wasn't just calling us to our own local, communities, but also abroad, across the world. And so with these things that we do that you hear us talk about throughout the year, like alabaster and missions giving and World Evangelism Fund, these types of things, these are the products. I mean, you guys are utilizing tools because of local churches like ours that are supporting that and getting involved in that. So now help me understand, because I think maybe many of us might have this question. You guys are going to be missionaries to the Azores. Okay. Where are the Azores? Where is
the map? So they're islands. They actually belong to Portugal. There's 9 islands, and they are basically, you can see, two-thirds of the way to Europe. There are 9 islands. The largest one is São Miguel, and the largest city is Ponta Delgada, and that is where we will be. The Western Mediterranean field, which is like Portugal, Spain, the Azores, France, there may be others, I don't know. But it's there's less than 3% evangelical Christian in that area of the world. And actually, we're kind of seen, evangelical Christians are not seen really in a good light.
Mm.
They're kind of seen outside of mainstream society, sort of like cults.
Oh, wow.
And so that's kind of how evangelical Christians are seen in the Azores, and that's kind of what we're stepping into.
Yeah, sure. So you guys are going to an area where it's not necessarily hostile towards Christians,
yeah,
but not necessarily all heartwarming and welcoming. And you're going to be a part of a mission ministry there in the Azores that you're going to kind of birth starting when? I mean, in you guys were,
April.
Yeah.
This April. Yeah.
But you told me last night as we were kind of meeting together mm-hmm. that there's a little bit of a hold up right now that we need to be praying for.
Yes. Yes.
And what is that hold up?
FBI paperwork.
So here's the amazing thing about Aaron and Fallon. When they leave, they have gotten rid of everything. They've sold everything, and they are leaving. And you guys aren't coming back.
Nope.
You're gone. Yeah. So it was nice knowing you. Yeah. But the amazing thing is, for you all, a part of Mission Corps and a part of the Nazarene Mission Corps, when you go to a place, you receive residency. You mm-hmm. live there, yeah. and you're there for at a minimum of 3 years.
Yes.
Which that to me is amazing. And so one of the things that we can partner with them in prayer is to pray that this FBI paperwork goes through. I think that that's something very valuable to pray for, because that's right now what's holding them up from receiving residency in the Azores so that they can stay and minister to the people there. So now help us kind of just shape for us a little bit about what you're going to be doing there. And then if you could tag into that kind of what kind of got you there.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know, I did not do anything wrong in the U.S.
Yeah.
FBI paperwork.
Yeah, I just like the way that sounds. Yeah.
One of the things that we want to do is this. There is a church that is already existent in on the island. And it's a very small church, and I had the privilege of visiting the church. The people are very nice, very friendly and loving. They even had a potluck for us, and we didn't even know that we were supposed to be there. We just had T-shirts and shorts.
Wow.
But they were still welcoming and very nice to us. But when we were there, we realized the fact that the church has not seen growth in several years.
Mm.
And they've been happy where they're at. No growth at all. The church lacks pastoral leadership. There is no pastor in the church right now. So we're going into that situation where there is no pastor, where there is no growth. We want to infuse a passion within the local church for growth and also be those leaders for the church. And identify and recognize people within the church who we can mentor, train them, and help them become those future leaders of the church.
Wow.
In the downtown area. Apart from that, there's this huge Nazarene campus. This is a splendid property. It is it's bigger than the size of a football field.
Wow.
And the Nazarene church had bought this several years ago, but it's been sitting, lying waste, and, you know, basically mm-hmm. it's a rundown facility. We really want to take, you know, the fact that we have something over there, rejuvenate it, revive it, and help ourselves to use that property to minister to people. And the things that we can do over here are endless, like family camps, retreats. And actually, there is an apartment in this property, and we plan on living in that apartment. Right now, as is, there's no way I can even enter the apartment.
Wow.
It's inhabitable. But here's what happens is this summer, there are three teams that is coming in June and July. And they're going to come, work in witness teams. They're going to come over there, and they're going to work in this property, help us get situated, you know, help us get a place to live.
Sure.
We don't know yet where we're going to live because this place is not yet, you know, a place where we can live. So we're looking into the unknown.
Right.
As such, even when it comes to a place where we're going to live, we're taking two kids. We don't know yet. But we want to be fully obedient to what God is calling in our lives.
Right.
And we want to serve the people in the Azores to the best of our ability.
And something interesting, the two teams that are going, you guys are currently on staff at Valparaiso Church of the Nazarene, just over the border in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys are picking up even from your staff, you know, positions, and,
yes.
and they're launching you, they're sending you as well. Mm-hmm. And there's a team from Alabama that's coming
in. There's a team all the way from Alabama.
And so, again, I think the other unique part of this is how they really kind of serve as the hands and feet to help get the place where you're going to be serving as missionaries to get that up and running. And so you guys really rely on a lot of even just the teams coming in just the importance of partnership. One of the things that you had said that you definitely would want prayer for is the fact that you're living on an island that serve seafood.
Okay.
Now, but I think you admitted that seafood isn't your favorite food.
No.
And so he asked for prayer. Aaron asked for prayer for us to pray that he would be able to like seafood, considering that you're going to be in an island kind of in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. But the funny part is, for us, you know, that's a small thing. But the truth is, what that really kind of communicates is the fact that you don't go where you want to go. You go where God calls you.
Calls us.
And so what is something that you just really, you the two of you, want to make sure that the church body hears? It's on your heart that you want to communicate for us to hear this morning.
I think, like I said in the first service, I would definitely want to say this, and when I say this, I really mean it. I really want people to pray for us. I really want people who would shoulder the burden of praying for us on a daily basis. I'm not asking for a random prayer. I'm asking for people to pray for us every day.
Mm.
And that's the biggest thing that you could do for us, and I am seriously meaning that. Because without prayer, I don't think we're going to be able to perform like the way we would want to.
Sure.
Over there. And pray for the people in Azores. There is a spiritual depravity, and we really want to minister to that and infuse a passion within the local people. Pray for us as a family, me, my wife, and my kids. We're going to a new situation. We have to learn to live in a new environment. We have to learn a new language. You know, Portuguese, not an easy language to learn. Every little dot makes a difference, you know, in the language. So it's a tough one. Pray for us as we, you know, as together as a family, we learn to live in a new culture and learn to live with different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
So those are like some huge prayer requests that we have that we want the church to partner with us.
Right.
And adding to that, I want to, and this has been my vision, my passion, that I want people from, you know, churches in the U.S. to bring families on mission trips.
Mm.
And not just like a 10 team from the church. You know, families can do mission trip. We have an excellent property.
Mm-hmm.
What a great way to like bring your family and do missions, teach your kids about service and obedience to God. That's a huge one for us.
And that's a great connecting piece to Trinity as well, because we really put a high value on families worshiping together as well as families serving together.
Yes.
Because as you know, even going to there were mission trips that you went on with your family, you saw the impact and you knew that God was calling you at a very early age because of that experience. So I just love the idea of partnering and looking at what are the aspects of that. Maybe there's families here that although we might not do a specific trip to the Azores from Trinity Church, it doesn't mean that there's not a family here right now that says, hey, what do you think about going over and supporting Aaron and Fallon and their family? Mm-hmm. Which I think
great.
Is just is really neat. Well, let's do this. If you turn your attention to the screen, we just have a short video. And then after that video runs, we'd like to pray for you guys. Can we do
Thank
that?
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. That's really great. It's so sorry.
Thank you.
And as you leave today, we have those prayer cards that we'd like to make sure that everybody, and you can visit their table, meet with them. They'll be here after the service to be able to talk. And like I said, this is a precursor to Power of One Sunday, which is next week. And it's going to be an awesome opportunity to celebrate what the local church can do in the local community as well as around the world. So would you join me this morning as we pray for Aaron and Fallon? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the call. Realizing, Lord, that the call that you've placed on both Aaron and Fallon is a call that they experienced long ago. And they are believing in faith that you have an incredible work for them to do in the Azores. Lord, I pray already that you would be going before them into the hearts of the people, that their hearts would be open and receptive. Lord, that they would be mindful of who you are as Aaron and Fallon show up. Lord, I thank you so much that that you are doing a work that's so much greater than we can even comprehend. So I pray for all the details. Lord, we want to pray right now that that paperwork that needs to be filled out, Lord, it's already filled out. It's in the FBI's hands. Lord, we pray for that to go through. We pray right now that that would happen because we know that that is the last piece that's really holding them back. Lord, I also pray that you would continue to give Aaron and Fallon just that burning passion and desire that they already have. And the times when it's going to be tough, Lord, I pray that you would encourage them. And the times when they might hit a brick wall, Lord, may you break through the wall. And so again, in all of it, we just give you thanks and we give you praise for what you're doing in their lives. We pray for Isaac. We pray for Malachi. These two little boys that will grow up in their world now will be a world that is so much broader and so much bigger than just Indiana, USA. So again, we thank you and give you praise for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Can we show appreciation one more time?
Well, good morning. Good morning. My name is Rivka, and I'm a senior at Olivet, and I'm a biochemistry math major. And so, in short, that's kind of, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm just like, first and foremost, I kind of wanted to expand actually on what Aaron said about being a product of missions. Both my parents are immigrants from Ghana, and if it wasn't through the prayers and through the financial support and through the belief of the Great Commission, I would never be alive. My entire family, before they met Christ, my grandparents, they were all occultish. They were into witchcraft, and it was because of churches and because of missionaries that my family disregarded that and came to Christ. And so I am seriously here as a product of the belief and the financial support and the prayers of all of you and the belief that Jesus can just turn anyone. And so through that, I'm just reminded that in this time of confusion where I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, that God is God and I'm not. And I'm so thankful that God is God, because I don't know what I'm doing and He's got me. And so I'm just reminded in Matthew 6, where Jesus is kind of talking about worrying and how He has given the birds food and how He's clothed the wildflowers. And we, of all people, we're not even birds, we're not flowers, we're people. How we much more should not worry. And Jesus reminds us to seek first His kingdom and all His righteousness, and then everything will be added unto us. And so I would really like to challenge you to seek God's kingdom, because in your time of confusion, He is the only thing that can give you what you need, and all His righteousness is all you can, like, go off of, I guess. So I just want you to be encouraged in the fact that we serve a God who is good, who is true, who will fight our battles, and who we can trust. Thank you.
Good morning, church. So good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. My name is Stuart Shattuck, and I'm a junior at Olivet Nazarene University. I'm a double major in intercultural studies and religious studies. I'm deeply moved this morning by the faith that you've all shown by being here. What the Lord has laid on my heart this morning is something that He's been laying on my heart for a long time now, for the past 3 years, actually. I think we all understand that life can sometimes be hard. Life can sometimes throw us for a loop, can bring us down, and try to convince us that we need other things to keep us from falling under the weight of all the pressure and all of the terrible things that can happen in this life. That is evident in my life, whereas last semester, my mother was taken from me, my family, by colon cancer. And it's been one of the toughest things that I've ever had to deal with in my life, if not the toughest. And what's so cool about God and His love is that He is all we need. And what the songs that we sing in gospel choir just ooze this idea of dependence on the one true God, Jesus Christ. In Him alone, we can be healed. And so I just want to challenge you, or just have you think about, are you depending on the Lord today? Because I know for myself, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed if I didn't depend 100% on the God who loves me, who created me, who knows me. And so I just challenge you to depend on Him each and every day. 100%, because He's all you need. That's it. Thanks for letting me share with you this morning.
Let's pray. God, we alone are never alone because we have a God that cares about us. Right in the very seat that we're sitting, you are reaching down and lifting us up. In the very depths of where we lay, God, you hear us. You know our inner thoughts. You know their fears. Because you care for us. God, you are mighty. God, it says in your word that creation, if we don't cry out, creation will cry out. Lord, let's not let a rock cry out in my place today. Without giving you the glory and the praise that you are due today. No matter what junk we brought into this church with us, the burdens, our fears, our temptations, God, we throw it down at your feet because we cannot carry it another day. Because you long to carry us. Lord, may we release that into your holy hands today. Lord, I thank you and I praise you because we get to be a part of your great plan. That a God that hears us and speaks to us through your word and through song, that you gently quieten our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. And I can't help but think years ago when you called me to be a missionary. Never would I ever have dreamed Naperville would have been on that map. But how blessed am I to be a part of a church that has college students lead us in song. Lead us into your presence of who you are, that welcomes missionaries in and around the world that I get to take part of. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for Aaron and Fallon for being willing and obedient to your call in their lives. Even with the unknown, God, may you give them peace that passes all understanding. God, and I'm not sure that maybe you're calling someone in this room today. Maybe it's a call to be obedient, to be the light in their dark world, in their homes, maybe in their workplace. But maybe, God, to be the light in another part of the world. God, help us to be willing and obedient. Use me. Use us. Thank you, Lord, that we are part of a bigger church around the world. Just like the girl said, you know what? We are all immigrants in need of a Savior. God, right now there are pastors and missionaries and nurses and doctors around the world who are called by you, who are called here in the U.S., who are called in this very room. Help us to rise to the occasion. Help the world not to push us down, but God, may we stand back up. Lord, thank you. thank you, Lord, for 100 years of mission work. That it just doesn't stop with one person, but it continues. That the work continues because your Holy Spirit is not done yet. Lord, thank you, Lord, that there are people right now that are sharing the good news. God, I thank you for them. Lord, I pray that Naperville Trinity Church of the Nazarene would be a light on Raymond Drive. But not just for Raymond Drive, Lord, but for all of our community, wherever we go. God, may we be the light unto this dark world. God, may we be one that changes the destiny because we share the good news with others. The good news of your Savior that loves us even no matter what we've been through, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're going through right now. God, you care for us right now. Help us to rise, God, and not let a rock cry out in our place. Thank you, God. However many years ago it was that you called me, and I get to be so blessed to be a part of a church that cares about missions. Thank you, God. But may it not stop with me. May you continue the work in and through our lives. And may we continually to say, yes, God, use me. I'm willing. God, as we continue our service through worship, may we continue our worship in giving as well. God, it's not our tithes. It's already your tithes. It's our offerings. You've given us so many gifts, Lord. May we give back to you freely and cheerfully. Lord God, may you use that to bless your kingdom. Bless us. Bless us as we continue to worship. Bless us the next Sunday, Lord. God, may you show up in a radical way, Lord, that Trinity Church of the Nazarene is just a spot on the map, but not in your presence, Lord, because you're going to blow it up, God. Missions is going to be impacted around the world because our people are faithful, and we're going to praise you for it, God. We are so thankful, God. We love you. Continue to work through Pastor Jasper and the gospel choir, Lord, as they minister to us. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Man, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna start dancing or something. Right? I mean, just think about the words of that. At the name of Jesus. I mean, the very atmosphere changes. I mean, something has to change. Something does change. When you say the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. They don't even have a choice. You know? I mean, I think about the time and time again when Jesus walked up to somebody that was demon-possessed. What's the first thing it did? It threw him to the ground. The demon inside the person threw him to the ground. Do you know why? Because he knew what was coming. And he was trying to inflict as much bodily harm on that person as possible before he knew that the Savior of the universe was going to call that demon out and say, "You flee." And I'm going to tell you right now that there are many of you this morning in this sanctuary right now that you have feel like you've been thrown to the ground. You feel like that you have been just beat up by the world. And I'm going to tell you this right now. And if you just lean out and you trust in Him and you listen to the words that these students have shared with us today, the very name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of the Father. He wants to be that for you today. And you know, one of the unique things that we have this opportunity to have the Proclamation Gospel Choir here from Olivet, it does pay to have a good friendship with the director. Jasper and I and Kaylee, we all serve together at First Church together. In fact, I just want to point out, I've got three students here that were our former students. So Kaylee and myself, when we were on staff there. And I want to point them out to you because these are real kids. And we're going to be receiving a love offering that's going to go directly to the gospel choir. And I'm going to, you know, if they could all make a sad face or something, you know. But Megan Islander and Aubrey Stafford and Laura Graven, they actually are three of our kids. And I can't help but get choked up. I try not to. And even in first service, you know, I'm just bawling like a baby because that's what I do, right? But it's so amazing to see the investment, you know, that we made in their lives. And now they're investing in the lives of a congregation that they travel around to. And it's not cheap. It's expensive for the gospel choir to travel and to minister like this. And so what we'd like to do is afford you the opportunity of just giving something, anything, any little bit, it helps. And so we're going to receive a love offering for the gospel choir. And we're just going to briefly pray. We'll do that. And then they've got a couple more songs. And one of the things that we get to do too this morning is receive our new membership. So we want to do that as well. So just pray with me quickly. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as the gospel choir again prepares to sing and administer through song, Lord, I pray this morning that You'd prepare our hearts to give. And Lord, understanding that what comes in during this offering is just a blessing opportunity to give back to Your kingdom through the Proclamation Gospel Choir. So again, Lord, we thank You for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm about to start hooping. Come on. I'm going to ask right now that the new members, we just have a couple more things. We're just going to do the membership reception, and then we've got one more song, and we'll be out of here. So I'm going to ask for the new members to come forward and just stand right here on the front, and I'll ask you to face me as you come. And if you're actually being received in transfer of membership, we want you to come as well. And this is a unique opportunity for you all, because when we receive members, they face this way because I have to see their expression. So if you see any funny stuff going on, you need to make sure you raise a hand or something. So if you guys just want to spread out here and let me share with us this morning. The following persons have either transferred to Trinity from another Nazarene church or have become new members of Trinity Church of the Nazarene. Today I will invite them to come to the front of the church, as they already are here, and join me for a very brief but special ceremony to officially recognize their membership in the church today. The privileges and blessings that we have in association together in the Church of Jesus Christ are very sacred and precious. In expressing a desire to unite with the church family, every member of Trinity Church of the Nazarene commits to the following charge. 1. I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards each other, by refusing to gossip, and by following the leadership. 2. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its spiritual growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, and by warmly welcoming those who visit. 3. I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastors, and by developing a servant's heart. And lastly, I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, and by giving regularly. If you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and that He saves you right now, please respond by saying, "I do." If you wholeheartedly embrace the charge of the membership as described, please respond by saying, "I do."
I do.
It gives me great pleasure to joyously welcome you to the family of Trinity Church of the Nazarene. It will be my prayer that God will richly bless you and keep you and enable you to become a source of encouragement, strength, and blessing as together we work to build His kingdom. Let's give a warm welcome to our new members this morning. So this is the part where my wife runs around and they're in alphabetical order, but we don't stand necessarily in alphabetical order. So she has to bounce around. But I want to just introduce you to you, at least by name this morning, Rick and Patty Smith. And Rick and Patty, this has been a wonderful journey that they have been on with the church. And so for them to be coming in as members is wonderful. Penelope Larkin, in fact, I'm going to ask you guys, go ahead and turn around. That way now this is the part where you get to see everybody. Penelope Larkin right down here on my left, your right. And Linda Washington next to her. Betsy Pond, who is a graduate of Olivet Nazarene University. So, and we've got lots of graduates actually here from Olivet Nazarene University. Adam and Hosanna Smith here in the middle. And Blaine and Linda Smith, who is actually Adam's parents. And last year, we actually received Angie and Chase Rogers. And Angie is the daughter and sister of Adam and daughter of Blaine and Linda. Whew! And if you count them all up, we have 6 Smiths this morning that are being introduced into membership. So we're making a run on the Smith name. And next to them is Allie and Caleb King, also graduates of Olivet Nazarene University. I'm saying that because it's just an Olivet day, right? You know? And so they join us here at Trinity as well. Brittany Graves, and unfortunately Pastor Xavier couldn't be with us this morning. He is in Texas, actually attending to his family at the loss of his grandmother. We found out this morning, Brittany shared with us, that Pastor Xavier is actually preaching this morning in his home church. So that's really neat that he has that opportunity to do that. That's really cool. And then Joseph Weber, all the way down here on the farthest on your left, my right. And Joseph also graduated from Olivet Nazarene University. So it's a really neat thing. And again, we just want to say thank you all, and thank you members for being here. You may find a seat as we finish one last song. In fact, you know, we have one of the things I want to do as you guys are being seated is I want to pray over the new membership group. And also, if this is something that you're interested in becoming a member here at the church, we'd love for you to reach out to the church office. Let us know. We offer classes throughout the year that you can get plugged in. They're one of the jokes that I make is you get a key to the executive bathroom. It's not much, but... Just teasing. There is no key. No, there is no executive bathroom either. Yeah. I always have to say that because one time I had a person come up and they were like, "Where's my key? How come I didn't get a key?" Yeah. So let's pray over those, and then the gospel choir is going to sing us out with a wonderful, awesome song called Ride On. Okay, let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the members this morning, that the new members that have come in to be a part of the family of God, Lord, first through salvation and then through the reception of membership into Trinity Church of the Nazarene. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for what you desire to do through not just the membership of the church, Lord, but everyone as we gather together as the body of Christ. So Lord, it's a special morning for us to be able to receive these new members and to be able to focus on the fact that you've called us to be workers in the vineyard, to be, because the harvest is ripe, Lord. And so we want to be the workers that go out and be the hands and be the feet, whether that's here in Aprilville or in the Azores around the other side of the globe. Again, Lord, we just thank you for the witness of Proclamation Gospel Choir. We thank you for the words that they've shared with us this morning. And now, Lord, as we end this service in celebration, we are thankful for you being the Lord of our lives. So again, we give you honor and praise for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ride on, King Jesus. No man can undeserve me. Ride on.
Let's show our appreciation of Proclamation Gospel Choir. Great job. Great job. I'll tell you what. It's exactly what I needed this morning. And it does a heart good, doesn't it? I don't know if they could have bend anymore. But, you know, the purpose of that is that trees are going to bend. Amen. Because the word of the Lord. So let's stand together as I pronounce a benediction over you. And if you would find a new member this morning and greet them in the name of the Lord, as well as let's go into this week encouraged that no man can hinder me. Just goes along with what we preached about last week. What can mere mortals do to me? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. Pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are dismissed.